SBS Radio.
Miss Transsexual 2016 and the representative of Australia in last year's Miss Transstar International. We have with us again Andrea Jacka-Smith. Hi, Andrea.
Hello, Cybele. It's nice to be back.
Yeah, it's been quite a while. Nice to have you again in our program.
It's my pleasure.
So, Andrea, we have actually heard your victories and you shared a bit of your story when you were young, but we never really got the chance to know it deeply. So we want to know you more. Is that okay?
Okay, just feel free.
So you were 6 years old when you noticed something was wrong with your body. What were you experiencing then that made you think so?
Well, at the age of six, I feel that something is different in me because I always loved to play girls stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then from then on, I realized that maybe I'm different or maybe I'm born in a wrong body. So that makes me feel that I'm different.
So did you also want to play with girls instead of boys then?
I mostly play with girls, yeah, instead of boys. And if there are boys playing with us, I try to punch them to be out of the group. I don't want some boys to be in our group. It's for exclusive for girls, but I'm the only one who is really boy-girl at that
time. All right, sure. So who was the first person you shared this with, Andrea?
Actually, none, because most of the members of my family feels and see it that something, not strange, but something different in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very, very open to my mom about stuff, girl stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister used to dress me up as a girl. So they know me from then on that I'm different.
Okay, so you never really opened up, but they know exactly that you're really different.
Exactly.
So you never went through that experience of being scared or hesitant to tell, of course, the people that you love most, right?
I was just scared at that time in dressing up.
Mm-hmm.
Because during my teenage days, I put some girl stuff in my bag. And when I go out, going to school, I change it, going to the bathroom, and then go directly to the school. And when I come back, remove it so that they will not see it. So that's
okay.
The only thing that I'm a little bit hesitant of.
Mm-hmm.
But when I reach 18, that's the time I really, really, really go out in my comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. So who are you most afraid of, Andrea? Your classmates or?
Actually, my grandmother, because of political issue, she's been in the service since my grandfather was alive then at that time. And then she took over the position and then now my brother took over. So, yeah. She's the person I'm really scared of.
So you became a part of like school cadet, right? Back in high school. Of course, you have to act like a macho then. How was the experience? How was it for you?
For me, it's not really discrimination because it's the protocol of the school.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in the cadet, so I have to really act as a man. And there was an instance that we have CAT formation in our high school, and one of the training officer was calling my name and let me hang in the tree for almost half an hour, a sort of punishment. Not really punishment, but a sort of training to really become a macho.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not struggling at that time, but I take that as a motivation for me to push through my studies and to finish it and prove them that there's nothing wrong to be who I am.
There's no conflict because like you were like a girl inside and you're acting like a man or a boy. You didn't experience any conflict or any hardship dealing with that conflict?
I have the difficulty in dealing with them because they are expecting me to act like a man. But deep inside, I am not because I'm very effeminate.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time also, we are 10 who are applying to be a cadet, but these are like girl boy. We are 10 of our friends, circle of friends who are applying. And luckily, I am the one who only sustained the training and made it to the final stage of the training to be a cadet officer at that time. So I'm the only one transgender to be in the group.
Okay, so you use that as a, let's say a motivation?
Yeah, precisely. That Yeah.
Andrea, because like you were in high school, definitely you have crushes back then. You had.
Of course. Okay. Everyone does.
Okay, so were you able to let them know what you felt for them?
Actually, the boys that I'm close with, these are the people that, I mean, I have emotions with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like not intimate, but have feelings with them. But we are talking and we are very close, so I don't really express them because they know it and I'm very vocal to it.
Mm-hmm. So you've been vocal about what you feel?
Absolutely, I am.
Okay, so how did they take it?
Do they take it as a joke or do they take it like a friendly way? Because in our section, we are very close with each other. We treat each other as brothers and sisters, especially in the cadet, because he is one of the cadet also.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the officers, the 80 officers in our school. So we get along with.
Do you have any bad experiences then?
Not really bad experiences, but I have I consider that as bad experiences because one of my cousin was confronting me that I am a disgrace to the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very down at that time and very depressed. And it ends up actually committing suicide.
Oh, you did commit suicide.
Yes, I was. Mm-hmm. I was elementary by then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I tried. But luckily, my sister noticed it. So, yeah, I'm safe. Mm-hmm. I'm happy now.
Okay, so this is really sad to hear. But after you committed suicide, and of course it wasn't successful, what was the greatest learning for you?
Well, for me, the greatest learning is to be myself and be who I am and fight for what is right.
You did. You were like carried away as well with the struggles, right?
I take that as a motivation for me to be the person who I am now. So those, the bad experiences from my teenage life, I take it as a learning experience to be strong and to motivate me to keep going and soar high.
Andrea, what can you give as an advice to the young people today who are struggling as well with, you know, the identity confusion and the hardships that they have to deal with the bullying and all this stuff because their gender is different from what is accepted in the society?
Well, first and foremost, they have to be themselves. And secondly, they need to have really a support system because that's the most important thing. And if, well, here in Australia, also, we have a council that can help young ones to be themselves and talk about that certain issues. And yeah, they just have to be themselves and don't be afraid to be in the open.
So what is it that you want to tell your teenage self today after all the accomplishment that you achieved?
Well, soar high, here you are. And be true to yourself.
What is the best thing about being young and being part of the LGBTQI+ community?
Well, the best thing of being young is enjoying the youthfulness you have and at the same time imparting it to the people that loves you and to the community. And being part of the LGBT community is, I would consider that, still not totally having our own freedom and being totally accepted by the community because as of now, until now, we are still struggling to fight for equal rights and struggling for LGBT rights also.
Want to hear more stories like this? Subscribe to our regular podcasts on iTunes.